Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast series. Over this series, we're looking at various mitigation options, guidance and farmer experience to help manage and improve water quality on farm in the surrounding area. You can listen back to all previous episodes in this series and other podcasts we produce for Farming Water Scotland on any podcast provider. Please like, follow and subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant and host for today's podcast. Today we're joined by Stephen Maguire, who works for SEPA as a senior hydrologist within their water resource unit, and Mary Delguiche, an agricultural consultant from SSE Consulting. Today's podcast will focus on water availability, in particular the changing weather patterns that Scotland has been experiencing over the past few years. From drought to extreme flooding, we will discuss the trends and on-the-ground experience farmers have faced during these events. Welcome both and thank you for joining us today.
Hi there.
Hello.
Stephen, I mentioned briefly in your introduction, but do you want to tell us more about your role at SEPA and the area of work that you work in?
Sure. One of SEPA's roles is to regulate licensed water obstructors to ensure that the water environment's being protected. And that's particularly important during periods of water scarcity. So I work in SEPA's hydrology section and in the water resources team, as you said, and I kind of focus on water scarcity issues. So in hydrology, we've got teams monitoring rainfall, river flows and groundwater levels right across the country. And then my team analyses these data and reports on levels of water scarcity that we're seeing at that time. And then from that, we can then assess the risks to the environment and encourage water users to plan ahead and manage supplies in advance to limit any impact on prolonged dry spells. And so we monitor this through the year, and one key aspect is during autumn and winter, when the water balance shifts and the water storage in lochs and groundwater gets recharged. So the rainfall over this recharge period gives us a good indication of the risk of water scarcity in the year ahead. And we've actually just published our latest seasonal report on our website, looking at the situation as we head into this spring.
Great, thanks. We will link to that report on the website with this podcast. So, Mary, do you want to provide a bit more information about your role at SSE Consulting?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Fiona. So as my role as agricultural consultant, I work with a distinct group of farmers in a particular geographical area within Perthshire and deliver one-to-one business advice. So that within that, you know, it can be everything from maybe soil sampling, silage sampling, looking then at nutrient management or feed planning, as well as, you know, supporting with all the sort of angles of compliance that are necessary in supporting with subsidy and grant applications as well. So yeah, what we do throughout the year just changes depending on what the individual businesses require support with.
Great, thanks. Initially, I think because we will be focusing on water scarcity and drought, Stephen, do you think that you could describe what we mean by these terms?
So when we're reporting, we're looking at the current conditions on the ground, but then also at longer seasonal trends and how rainfall has been compared to what we'd normally expect for any given time and area. So a drought event would likely start off with a meteorological drought, which where you've got long-term or extremely below average rainfall. So this could happen at any time of the year, and it could actually be worse if it happens in those typically wetter months when the water resources should be getting topped up. Then that over time, that leads to a drop in water that's stored in lochs and groundwater, and then in turn that creates a hydrological drought, and we'll start to see impacts on rivers, so prolonged low flows, which can then affect the ecosystems. It can take a long time for this type of a drought to build up, but then equally the recovery can be quite slow, and typically you need to a lot more rainfall than you would expect to in order to kind of fully come out of this kind of an event. Another term that we quite often use is an agricultural drought. So that would be specifically linked then to reduced soil moisture levels, and which would then start to impact on crop growing. So this can happen over much shorter timescales. So even just a few hot and dry weeks in summer can really lead to the soils drying out. Then when we talk about water scarcity, we're looking at the sort of supply and demand aspect of things. So Scotland is obviously a very water-rich country compared to many other parts of the world. But with that, the ecosystems and a large, huge part of economic activities become linked to having that water being readily available. So
yeah,
when we see water scarcity in a high demand area, then the impacts can be huge.
And then looking specifically at Scotland, can you give us the current trends that we've been experiencing over the past few years?
Yeah, sure. So I started this out in this role back in 2017. And back then, I think there wasn't a lot of general awareness of water scarcity issues in Scotland. I think people in the farming community would have been well aware, but I'd often get quite confused looks from friends and family when I was trying to explain my job. But then in 2018, we had that exceptionally dry summer, and it actually followed on from two consecutive dry winters. So that led to really heavy impacts, particularly in the northeast of the country. And then since then, actually, we've had a significant water scarcity event in some part of the country almost every year since.
Since
2018, yes. So we've had kind of supplies impacted down in the southwest in 2019, then up in the north coast the next year, and then up the east coast in 2022, which was really quite badly hit. And last year, there was actually very few areas that were not impacted. Mm-hmm. And we saw river flows dropping extremely quickly through spring and into early summer, much quicker than we would normally expect to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other aspect is the last couple of years in particular, we've seen huge kind of shifts between extremes. So we've had extended periods with almost no rainfall at all, followed by kind of big flood events where we've had a month's rainfall falling in a day in some places. And that's the kind of pattern that we're starting to see on a much wider scale, and with extremes and the seasonal weather too. So we've had last year we saw kind of widespread water scarcity, and then it was followed by the autumn where we've just issued the kind of a record number of flood warnings over the last season. So
yeah, me putting you on your spot, how many were there? I just felt that, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot there. Well,
I should have looked that up. I have seen the number, but I can't remember.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, so it really feels like we're kind of seeing these impacts of climate change and happening in real time recently.
Mary, following on from that, what impact have you seen on the farming community from like your experience, your colleagues and your clients, and the media, I suppose, from all this extreme weather that farmers are now having to deal with day to day?
Yep. So probably in relation to drought, the first, I suppose, business type that we think of are those maybe with the more high value potato and veg crops and their, you know, irrigation plans, that they would, you know, I suppose their planning is changing. They're maybe irrigating more within their license, but then also there's that concern over irrigation as well. You know, will there be suspensions in place? Is there going to be the water there to keep the yield in those high value crops as they have been used to it being? So I would say there's that, just that's probably the first sector that the way the patterns have fallen so far in recent years, they tend to be quite heavily impacted and are the ones most concerned around any suspensions and monitoring, you know, the reports released by SEPA. But overall, there's probably just again, the timings that it falls, there's that general reduced yield or impact on yield potentially depending on how the weather pattern falls, and that applies to crops, but we're also starting to see it come through on the causing some concerns and impacts to the livestock farmers as well, who are trying to get silage taken at that time of year. Reducing that yield has those knock-on implications throughout the rest of the year. If they don't get quite as much made in that key summer period, then, you know, they're going into the winter house and livestock potentially with less than what they would have. So then they're needing to either maybe purchase other forage or look at other supplementary feeds, which increases that financial burden upon the business. And even, you know, just grazing livestock. In recent years, we've noticed that actually grass growth has been quite severely impacted by the drought period. There's obviously across Scotland different people grazing different ways. Mm-hmm. And maybe those who have, maybe we've heard anecdotal reports from those who are grazing in a more rotational way, that they're maybe able to buffer the impacts a little more. But I would say across the board, we have, you know, people have had to look a bit more at the management of stock during that summer period in terms of availability of fodder for grazing as well, would be the main things that come to mind.
And then looking at the impact of the flooding, especially with, like, say, for the example, in October last year in the Angus area, that impacted the farming community heavily. Do you want to discuss more about the impacts that the farmers had to endure?
Yeah, certainly. I think probably the main thing with what we've seen there in October, as you mentioned, was those kind of extreme rainfall events were starting earlier than what we were maybe had experienced in the last couple of years. And the main main impact there was that actually there was still potato and veg harvest that was incomplete. So we actually, you know, had losses of growing crops. You know, there were some people who were frantically trying to get as much out the field as they could, but there was no way, you know, with the amount of crop that was still in the ground, nobody was ever going to get everything lifted before that kind of first extreme rainfall event took place. And again, you know, quite high value crops there and literally just having to be sacrificed because anything, you know, the areas that were then sitting in water for some time, you know, for example, in a potato crop, that was then, you know, that potato crop was going to be of little value. And if even attempting to harvest it, if it was even possible to then put it through, you know, the rest of the process with the potatoes that had came out of drier ground, was going to impact further on the process for that business. So there almost just had to be a sacrifice made. But even, I suppose, you know, we had those people coming to the end of a season, but as well at that time of year, we had people, you know, starting the next season, putting in winter cereal cropping to then harvest in the following harvest. And again, a lot of those fields just sitting in water for extended periods of time, essentially rotting crops out. So either, you know, they were weighing up the options, you know, for those that were really poorly affected, they're then looking at sowing again in the spring, going again with another crop. But obviously there's the financial implications of that. There's then, you know, new seed, all the, you know, fuel and operations need to be carried out again. So there's a time, effort and financial implication of that. You've then got some that maybe weren't as badly affected, but there's always that concern of how well will they recover from that kind of extreme rainfall event and that sort of key starting growth period. Will we actually be, you know, working with a poorer yielding crop, and therefore, you know, the farming business has still got the same level of inputs to take that crop to the point of harvest, but actually will the yield that they're able to gain suffer? Suppose looking as well at some of the livestock side again, there was still a lot of livestock out grazing, as would be naturally expected at that time of year. So we've seen, you know, a bit poaching being a problem in some areas, or some people bringing livestock in earlier. Obviously, if you bring them in earlier, you're ultimately facing yourself with a longer winter. And it's maybe that vicious circle that then if you were also affected by the drought and your forage supplies weren't quite what you wanted to be, you know, you're bringing, you know, livestock in earlier, you're needing to, you know, have feed available to feed for a longer period of time.
Impacted by both.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, that would be the kind of main things. I suppose just coming back almost to that veg, you know, there probably is maybe some concerns over actually soil structure and maybe some damage to those, because there was people who have then, you know, been in fields trying to harvest a crop but in particularly wet conditions, and actually, you know, machinery, it's not getting any smaller, it's, you know, trajectory is only going in one direction. So actually, what are the impacts there within the soil structure and the damage, you know, of trying to get these crops out in a particularly sodden ground would be
Well, I suppose with all the warnings from SEPA, they knew it was coming and then they were trying to act. So
But no, I think we are just, and even, you know, we're, I think maybe it comes back to the volume that fell in such a short space of time. But I know the kind of, a lot of farmers are feeling that maybe the point of year in which fields would normally be starting to dry up to allow a bit more field operations and get them going with activity and that spring work, it just, it's falling later every year. And, you know, there's that, the kind of farm management, crop management, you know, they're having to adjust that to cope with that. And we are probably finding that the more, you know, we're seeing much more extreme rainfall events, and therefore we need to give the land longer to recover, but it's the knock-on implications that we then see throughout that production year.
Yeah, I suppose, and every year's been different. And like what you're saying, like the location, Stephen, was different as well, so...
Exactly, yeah. How there's no tip that anybody can follow. It's,
Thanks, Mary. So obviously for the past few years, Scotland has been experiencing more drought periods throughout the summer. How are SEPA focusing on this issue, and how can we help farmers with water scarcity at pinnacle times of the year?
As I mentioned, we will be reporting on the water scarcity situation throughout summer. We do a weekly update. So keeping an eye on these will obviously help to give a kind of early warning to irrigators on how we're seeing the situation develop. And then as well as the report, there's also, we've got a drought risk assessment tool on our website, which displays how long rivers in a certain area have been experiencing low flows. So once we start to get into an event, it kind of has a countdown of how long it's lasting. And all that information helps to provide evidence to us on setting the water scarcity level. So it's important for farmers and other water users to keep an eye on these conditions and to be able to react and manage water use accordingly. If you have a licensed obstruction, then you can expect to get notifications from us as the water scarcity level changes. We're moving towards a more automated system of delivering messages similar to flood warnings. So we can send out messages through emails and text. So there'll be more information on that coming out quite soon. And then obviously SEPA do have a responsibility to regulate obstructions if the situation calls for it, if it gets bad enough. But we would obviously aim to do this as cooperatively as possible and encourage planning ahead for water management, and we can provide advice for farmers who are looking at options for this, for example looking at switching an obstruction to a less vulnerable source or creating offline storage, which is something we would encourage. So we'd encourage farmers to get in touch if they've got any questions around this.
We'll put information on the website about offline storage and how to contact SEPA as well.
Okay.
Stephen, can I just maybe ask there, just from the, you know, point of view of a farmer listening into this, in terms of those warnings, are they kind of incremental? Are you following to, you know, let's say somebody with an abstraction license, are they the warnings you're sending out by email and text, is that kind of letting them know that the situation's developing rather than just being a last, you know, this situation's really severe now, here's your notification?
Yeah, so if, yeah, we would be sending out as the level progresses. So an early warning, say if we have a kind of dry conditions going into early spring, into the start of summer, we would have already set a kind of early warning or alert level, which is an advance notice that we of the situation. And you could expect, I guess, looking at forecasts as well, whether that situation is likely to get worse. And then as the level progresses up, there'll be additional messaging through with various kind of different links and advice on what we would suggest to do at that time. Once we get further into an event, and if it looks like supplies are likely to be impacted, then some of my colleagues would start to also just get in touch directly with farmers in order to discuss options going ahead and make sure that they're aware of the situation.
And obviously, we can impact how much water falls, but what can farmers introduce onto their farm? Mary, I'm probably going to look to you there. We can talk about offline storage in a minute as well, because I think that's really interesting and important. But what can farmers introduce to help mitigate against the extreme flooding to the drought? Or we'd probably do drought then extreme flooding, because that's calendar wise.
So I suppose in terms of the drought, probably one of the main things would be kind of building that organic matter level in the soil to kind of help maybe that water retention capacity of a soil. I suppose this has benefits on both drought and flooding, but yeah, you know, maybe the use of organic manures and just thinking a bit more about what are you returning to that soil that might help with its, you know, ability to retain water, both in, you know, a drought situation, can it keep a bit of soil moisture just to support that crop, but also the likelihood, you know, that doubles up when, you know, the rain is falling at the rates that we've seen it, it should hopefully be able to hold a bit more water before it then starts to run off. Yeah, I suppose then kind of keeping on to the drought, the flooding, it's difficult because maybe in the last year there, the October, we had fields flooding that don't normally flood. You know, we didn't just see it in terms of, the likely fields. But I suppose it's maybe, there's maybe now a need for some farms and businesses to look at certain fields and actually whether moving them to a spring cropping rotation rather than winter might be more beneficial in terms of preventing, you know, losses of growing crops, like we were saying, some of those winter cereals rotting out in the field. There's also but on the back of that, moving, you know, to spring cropping is actually maybe the use of cover crops just to keep the soil covered all year round, because obviously we do notice in extreme rainfall events there can be a lot of soil erosion, soil runoff, and obviously if a field is, you know, exposed and uncovered, the risk of that increases. So I would say we're starting to see more people look at maybe cover crops and such like, and even maybe just using them on a bit of a trial basis. So I think that might be something that we'll see more people start to look into, or at least investigate the feasibility for their farms.
Because we might be at a trial and error stage with this, because it's the unknown. We don't, and every year is different, so.
And maybe coming to that kind of thinking, you know, a mass water flooding in, buffer strips along watercourses can sometimes, you know, catch some of that sedimentation and keep the water flowing. And I would say we're seeing probably more and more of them coming up through some of, you know, maybe the agri-environment schemes. There'll be more people managing buffer strips and water margins around watercourses, but that can be, you know, again, it's so individual farm to farm, but, you know, it's maybe something that is, you know, if there was a field that you're starting to notice a pattern being quite impacted, then that's possibly something to look at as well.
Great, thank you. And Stephen, obviously we've talked about the devastating impacts that water can do with the multiple heavy rainfalls occurring over a short period of time. Hypothetically, do you think this is a trend that may occur more frequently and to the same extent, or is that, you can't answer?
Yes, I think it is clear from climate projections that with warming we're going to see more of these extremes, both with the wetter winters, increased flooding, and hotter, drier summers leading to more intense droughts. But also the intensity of rainfall events will increase. We'll have more heavy rainfall events that lead on to flooding. So even in summer, as Mari mentioned earlier, flooding could be exacerbated by more intense rainfall falling onto dry ground, which just leads to increased runoff, rather than soaking into the ground, into the soils. So that could lead to more summer floods coinciding with drought events as well. We've got a bit of a double whammy from that.
I suppose it's kind of key that farmers start to protect their soil and look at how they can maintain or improve that, and then that can help water retention and then help reduce the impact from either drought or extreme flooding.
Yeah, or both.
Or both, yeah. Week by week. Looking for information that farmers can use, where can they find relevant information to help them protect themselves from the changing weather patterns?
There's the Farm Advisory Service webpage, which will offer some information around those kind of management practices that we've maybe touched on, such as building organic matter in soil, but also maybe looking at, you know, we'll have some publications looking at the use of cover crops, maybe some case studies and examples there. And just general, you know, we've got a really good environment section on there, which are maybe, you know, if you're looking beyond, you know we're starting to see these weather patterns, what are those kind of measures that you can put in place? And that's certainly a good place to go there. We're also, you know, got a bit of the whole story around the right tree in the right place. Is there actually, from that flooding element, some benefit to those being alongside watercourses to help with infiltration? So a lot of the measures that we've touched on today that may be worth farmers and businesses looking at going forward, there'd be information on there. And then we can also link on that same section to Farming and Water Scotland and the wealth of resources that they have produced on a lot of these topics as well.
Yeah, thanks. And with water scarcity on SEPA's website, is there a designated area or is it just a case of signing up to be notified?
We've got a dedicated website focusing on water scarcity, so there'll be extra information there, links to advice around licensing options and management options, also that's where we link to our latest report.
Okay, and we'll put all those links on the webpage alongside this podcast. Thank you, Stephen and Mary, for joining us today. It's been a really interesting discussion. And thank you for joining us today. On the webpages, we've saved all the links to documents and guidance notes that have been discussed throughout this podcast episode. If you enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe and follow our podcast wherever you listen to them. Please get in touch if you'd like to find out more. Farming Water Scotland is a partnership programme funded by Scottish Government and delivered by SEC Consulting with support from SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risk and benefit the farm business.